Do you tell him all your troubles? Do you give him all your cares? Most of the time we don't, right? Most of the time we try to hoard them up, keep them to ourselves, right? Why? Because we don't want to look bad in front of anybody else. We don't want to not look as spiritual as we ought. This is a safe place to be a little bit vulnerable right here. It ought to be. Everybody here ought to be on your side. When you're hurting and when you're going through something, everybody in this church ought to be right there with you, just praying and trying to help you get through it. But sometimes over the course of time, we've gotten to where we don't really tell Jesus our problems, and we don't want to come down to this altar and actually show some vulnerability because somebody might think bad of us. That's not the way church works. Church is a safe place. It's a good place. You should feel loved when you walk in the door. It doesn't mean that everything you hear is always easy. We learned that this morning, right? Doesn't mean everything you hear you always agree with. But you know that I love you, right? I wouldn't tell you if I didn't love you. I'd just tell you the same old stuff. I'd tell you what every other preacher tells you. You're a good person. You got it all figured out. You'll be fine. There's a preacher told my dad that when he was 12 years old. My dad walked down the aisle of a Pentecostal church. Yes, he was Pentecostal. He got it right, though. He's Pentecostal. That's the way he grew up. He went down the aisle under conviction, went down, got underneath the side of a table like this, knelt down, and a deacon came with the Word of God. He said, "What you down here for, boy?" He said, "I don't want to go to hell." He patted him on the back, said, "You a good boy, you're going to be all right." And he got up and walked back to the back. No. He wasn't all right. Good boys don't go to heaven. I don't know if y'all know that or not. Just because you've gone to church all your life and you sit in that pew and you know the Word of God, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you'll split hell wide open. There's people dying and going to hell from a church pew in every church in the county. That's the way that it works. Why? Because church has gotten to this place where you can't be vulnerable anymore. Nobody really cares for anybody anymore. Why did we change? It's our fault. This ain't got nothing to do with what I'm preaching. But I must tell Jesus was good. I got to tell him all my problems. He's faithful and he's just. Every time. When you're at the very bottom, who do you go to? You go to God, right? Why? Because nobody else can really help you the way that He can. I hope I can encourage you. I hope when I call you on the phone that you sit there and go, "Man, I felt encouraged." But here's the thing. I can't fix it. God's the one who fixes it. I can call you every day, all day. Guess what? It's just a person calling you. Is it good to do? Yeah, it's good encouragement. It helps you. It lets you know somebody cares for you. But you better be giving them to God. You better give it to who matters. Because He's the one who will change your life. Quit hoarding everything up within yourself and come down to an altar and just get things right with God. Change your life for once. Do something real. Get on fire for God. Man, we've gotten to where church is just a thing. And it don't go past this building. When the church ain't the building in the first place. It's just a building. Guess what? If it burnt down tomorrow, I'd be upset about it. Yes, I would be upset. I like pews and air conditioner and toilets and all that good stuff. But guess what? If it burnt down tomorrow, guess what? We'd go have church over there. If it burnt down tomorrow and took everything out, we'd have church in the parking lot. We could have it in, we couldn't have it in the parking lot. It's too small for that. We could have it outside. We could have it at your place. We could have it at your place. You can have church wherever you want to. By the river, it don't make any difference. You can build a new building. It's what you do outside of here that matters. Telling other people about Jesus Christ. Why? So when they have trouble, they know who to get it fixed. I must tell Jesus. We sing the songs week in and week out. And we say we believe it. Man, we don't. Man, we don't believe it. We just do the church thing. You're just playing the game. That's what it's become, right? It's just a big game. I don't know why we're going here. I guess somebody needed to hear it. It's just a big game to everybody. How did it happen? Some of you older people, you know way more than what us younger people know. Yes, we're in that category. You know more than we know. You remember how it used to be, right? You remember how things used to be when you came to church, the feeling that you had when you came into church, right? When you walked in the door, and you just got this feeling of just, man, it's good to be here. It was comforting to you. It was like, man, we're going to learn something about the Word of God. We're going to get to hear things about Jesus Christ. We're going to be excited when we leave here to go do something for God. We're going to be convicted sitting in our pews to get our lives right. Man, you remember how that was. But my generation ain't never felt it before. You know how I know? Because I've asked people in my generation, hey, when you get into your quiet place to go pray, does God really talk to you? And they don't even know what you're talking about. I ain't never felt Him like you're talking about. Why? Because you didn't get your real good dose when you got saved. Or you did this. You got you a good dose when you got saved, and over the years you've let it go. That can happen. That can happen. He didn't leave you. We talked about that this morning. Ephesians 4:30, sealed to the day of redemption. He ain't gone anywhere. He's right there. He always has been. He always will be. You can't put it off. You can't get rid of it. He's right there. Always. Always has been and always will be. But for some reason, we've stepped aside. We said it don't matter anymore. Church ain't the same way anymore. We just have to do it differently. We were talking about those old preachers. I was talking to Miss Tony about it and everything last week, talking about Maze Jackson and all those kind of people. And you get to talking about how they preached and what the things that they did, the things that they said. And yeah, maybe everything they said wasn't all right, but guess what? They had conviction about them when they got up and preached. Somebody's lives got changed when they got up and preached. You know why? Because they had God all over them to preach it, but guess what? The pews had God all over them too. It's got to be more than just the guy that's up in the pulpit that's got God on him. You need to get God on you too. When you're sitting in a pew, you do this, because I hear it a lot, okay? Man, I was really praying for that person. Man, I was really hoping he'd get something this morning. Think about what you're saying. I'm all for praying for people, okay? I'm all for it. I think you ought to pray for them. You know somebody's lost and going to hell, you ought to pray for them to get saved. But I'm telling you right now, at some point in time, maybe you ought to sit there and say, God, give me something. Why? Because Because if God changes your life, it might change theirs. Do you ever think about that? Maybe they're sitting there going, watching you. They say, well, you really ain't that much different than I am. You ever thought about it? You sitting there praying in your pew that you hope that they get saved, but in reality, they're hanging out with you every week and they're saying, I ain't no different from you. Why should I change? You ever thought if you got up and said, you know what, God, I'll give you this stuff because I can't handle it anymore. God, you can have all of it. Have you ever thought that maybe they'd sit there and go, man, now he got God all over him. I need to go get me a dose of what he's got. It changed my life. It changed his, so it had to change mine. I'm about done with that. I'm about to be done with the coat and everything else, too. Whew. Y'all ready for me to preach now? Titus chapter 2. Sitting here looking at this first verse in 13, man. It all just fits together anyway. Titus chapter 2. Turn to verse 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Have you ever thought about those verses right there? Huh? You've got to live in the world, right? But you don't have to be like it. You don't have to be like the world. Bible says in Romans chapter 2, or 12, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You have to have a renewing of your mind. You have to change. You have to get the things of God on your mind constantly. Why? Because then it keeps you out of the world, right? It keeps you separated from them. Should we care for the sinner? Yeah, you should. That don't mean you get in their sin. Amen? Somebody goes to a bar, guess what? I don't give you the right to go sit in a bar with them and try to lead them to the Lord. Wait till they get out. Have some discernment in your life about how to handle a situation. You don't have to do what they do to love on them a little bit. You have to be a little bit different. You have to be different from everybody else. It shouldn't just be the preachers that are different. It should be the Christians that are different. When you go cut grass, you got to be different. When you're enjoying retirement, be different. When you go to work, be different. When you go to school, be different. That's hard. I know that's hard. I understand. It's tough to live in this world and in this day and age, and be different from everybody else that you go to school with. I completely get it. It was tough enough when I graduated in 2006 to be different. I can't imagine right now what they go through. The stuff they put up with. And I went to a Christian school. You go to public school. That's different. I ain't saying either one of them were real good all the time. There was plenty of bad went on in that Christian school, trust me. But you got to be different. You got to stand for something. You got to know what you believe, why you believe it, so that when somebody comes ask you, you can give them an answer for it. You have to be able to stand up for it. You have to have some confidence about what the Word of God says. You may not have confidence in yourself, but the Word of God can give you some confidence about what it says. The Word of God can take care of itself. You just got to know what direction to put it in. You ever thought about that? I'm an introverted person. Y'all look at me like I'm crazy when I say that. Trust me, I'm an introverted person. This is all God, me preaching. Trust me. Because I'd rather be anywhere than right up here. Like, I'd rather be in the back with Brother Rick. That's where I want to sit. I enjoy that place. But God called me and He equipped me to do it. So you may not be confident in your abilities to tell somebody, but if you get in that Word of God right there and let it teach you, then you can just sit there and quote the Scriptures to them. Let the Bible take care of it. God will handle the rest of it. It's the same way it works in everybody else's life. It doesn't matter whether you're young or whether you're old. It doesn't make any difference. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. I like that last verse right there. These things speak and exhort and rebuke. Have you ever thought about that? You're supposed to call wrong, wrong. We done got away from that, haven't we? Everything's accepted, right? Everything's good. Everything's fine. You want to believe that? Fine, you believe it. Believe what you want to believe. Have you ever thought about actually calling it out and saying, you know what? That ain't right. Not every denomination's right. I'm glad that some denominations do believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm glad of that. They got some doctrinal things messed up. I'm glad their salvation's settled. I got some Free Will Baptist friends think you can commit apostasy today. They think they can just put it away whenever they want to. I got more security in their salvation than they got in itself. Why? Because I know what the book says. Have you ever thought about somebody coming up to you and saying, you know, I just don't believe that church thing's right. I don't believe that Jesus Christ really died on the cross. You know, you have the authority to be able to say, that is wrong. It's the only hope you got. The Bible says do it with all long-suffering, right? There's a way to handle the situation. You ain't got to jump down their throat, is what He's saying. Because I know me. I really like to chew people out for some reason. I don't know why my mentality is that way, but at work, I enjoy every minute of it. When they don't want to work, it's my just thrill to just go get on somebody. I don't know why. It's the way my daddy is. I guess it's the way I am. You just jump on somebody. I want to motivate them. Usually it just ticks them off, and then they work harder, and I'm happy. You can be mad as long as you work hard. There's a way to handle situations, though. Call long-suffering, but you still got to call wrong, wrong. Why? Because they'll never know truth if you don't show them what's wrong. You'll never know truth. We go through it in Sunday school. We're going through dispensations. We're going through all these studies. If you miss out on it, I'm sorry. You ought to come. I could tell them, you ain't got to agree with everything I say, but it'll definitely make you think. Why? How do I know? Because a long time ago, I didn't know all of it either. You realize somebody taught me? You realize I got in the Word of God and started studying it for years and years and years and years and years to be able to sit there and say, this is what I believe? Do you know that I still do it? There's still things I sit there and go, man, that's different. I didn't think about that part. Why? Because it's a living book? Yeah. It's a living book. It gets you going and coming. Sharper than any two-edged sword. You know the reason why a church can do whatever they want to? Because they took this away. Yeah, I'm a King James Bible believer. Okay? I believe this is the infallible and inerrant Word of God. When they took that out of the church, guess what happened? The conviction went with it. You can't get convicted if you ain't got something to convict you. It's just a book if it ain't the Word of God. You say, well, they're all the same. They're not. They're not all the same. That's like saying you can go pick whatever denomination you want. They're all the same. No, they're not. You can just do whatever you want to, right? It's just going to church. And you'll have somebody teaching you some garbage. Amen. Just call it what it is. I done told you, I don't know why we're here this morning on this stuff, but I'm on it. I'm going for it. I feel like God wants me to go this direction. I'm just letting Him push it. May make all y'all mad before we get out of here. I'm really scared about that 13th date. Good night. I reckon if I'm going to get fired, I'm going to go out with a bang. But have you ever thought about it? Have you ever looked at the Word of God and actually said, you know what, I'm going to call wrong, wrong. Why? Because it says to rebuke it. You know why? Because I'm looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And I want everybody else to be looking forward to it too. You see, I'm ready to go. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior as a 9-year-old boy. I am ready to go. If He came back right now, guess what? There'll be a blue suit sitting right here on the floor. And you can have it. Anybody that can fit in it, you can have it. Because I'm gone. It'd be a big blood stain right there. That's a good study. Just throw that out there for you. This old body ain't needed anymore. I'm going to get me a new one. See, I'm ready to go. But if I don't tell somebody else, guess what? They're not going to be ready to go. So they're not looking forward to it. They're not looking forward to it. They're just playing the games. They're just going through the motions. They don't really care about the things of God. They don't care about telling somebody else about Jesus Christ. They don't care about seeing somebody's lost soul saved. They're just going through the motions, just playing church. Right? You used to play it as a kid, didn't you? Some of you had played it as a kid. I used to do that. Why? Because my daddy was a preacher, I reckon. I always wanted to be like my daddy. Except it's not that ugly. I didn't want to be that fat, but I'm working on it right now. I used to remember sitting there and you'd get behind something, you'd make the pulpit, whatever it was. And I remember laying my Bible out there and just getting after it, screaming just like he did. I remember sitting up there at the church and trying to walk on the pews like he did. Back in the day, my dad would just absolutely walk them. I mean, just step across you walking them. That's how excited he gets about preaching. He don't do that anymore because he's old. His legs don't work quite that good anymore. But I remember I used to sit there and play church. As a young kid, I'd be the music director. Sit there and try to lead the music, right? Sing the top of my lungs. Just doing what? Playing church. You remember those days? You remember those days when you used to sit there and just kind of play the motions and you'd sit there and go, man, I want to go sing or I want to go do this or I want to go do that or you act like you're the preacher or act like you're the deacon or act like you're taking the notes? Yeah, there's people that do all different things, right? Maybe you acted like that when you were a young kid. Maybe you played the game. But you're still playing it. See, that's the problem. You never quit playing the game. You can call yourself a football player, but if you never get down to take the snap, guess what? You ain't a football player. I wanted to be a football player growing up. I wasn't a good one, but I wanted to be. Guess what? I didn't want to get hit. That causes a problem now, doesn't it? I remember the first time as a 7th grader standing on a football field, and I played center, and I grabbed that football and a nose tackle sitting right there across from me in practice, and he laid me out. Yeah, the seniors used to play the junior high kids. We were practice dummies is all we were. He laid me on my back, and I'm just sitting there thinking, God, this ain't good. But I realized at that moment in time, hey, I'm a football player. I didn't have to win it, but I'm in the game now. And then I realized, you know, I got enough padding on me that it didn't really hurt all that bad. And then I liked hitting people. And then everything changed. I realized that was an outlet. I can hit people and not get in trouble for it. Amen. You see, if I never take the snap, I'm not actually in the game. What about church? If you never get things settled with God, guess what? You ain't in the game, you're just playing it. And then when you sit there and read these scriptures looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing, you sit there and go, I don't even know what he's talking about. I'm not looking forward to anything. Guess what? You better be looking forward to something. If you ain't looking forward to that, guess what you've got to look forward to? That's a really hot hell. There ain't no other way to put it, folks. You get two choices. It's heaven or it's hell. Everybody can try to change your mind and tell you a different doctrine. They can do whatever they want to. But the Word of God says you got two choices. It's heaven or it's hell. That's it. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I want everybody's lives changed that I can see changed. I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. God don't want anybody to die and go to hell. That's a misconception. Calvinists will tell you that. You're part of the elect. Amen. Let's get on that for just a minute. That's a bunch of garbage. That's a bunch of garbage right there. They sending people to hell left and right and left and right because they say you got to be a part of the elect. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, saying, hey, it's a free gift of salvation. It's unto you, but it's only upon them that believe. Guess what? If I believe and accept the free gift of salvation, guess what? I'm saved. And it's unto everybody. It's unto everybody. I know what the elect is. It's in a different dispensation. Hey, come to Sunday school. You might learn about it. Amen? Then when somebody sits there and says, are you part of the elect? You can say, no. No. And I know where that fits. I know exactly where it's supposed to be. I know what it means. I know what it means when he gets over there and says he's predestined. I know what he's talking about. It ain't what John Calvin said. And it ain't what John MacArthur preaches either. Sorry, I'll get off that one. He makes my blood boil. Do you ever tell anybody about Jesus Christ? Do you even care about it? You have that blessed hope, right? You're looking for it. Are you truly looking for it? Because if you're not looking for it this morning, maybe you ought to get it settled. If you're not looking for the blessed hope, that means you don't even know what it is, and you ought to come get that settled this morning. I don't care how old you are, and I don't care how young you are. If you don't know what the blessed hope is, get it settled. I beg you to get it settled. If I could do it for you, I would, but I can't. I sit back there and see that little four-year-old boy, red-headed boy right there, that beautiful baby. Drives me nuts, but I love him. I sit there and look at him, and I hope one day he gets it. Right now, all he's worried about is coloring. But one day, I hope he understands that Jesus Christ died on the cross for his sins. And you see, I want to be the one to tell him. I hope maybe you tell him. I hope you'll tell him. I hope somebody in Sunday school class will tell him. I hope that somebody stands up and still shares the Word of God with him. And when he gets older, guess what? He's still learning about the Word of God. He still knows what's right and what's wrong. Why? Because I want him to grow up and be a good Christian, saved individual. Not because I want him to grow up and be a good preacher. If God calls him to preach, amen, hallelujah, I hope he preaches the house down. Not because I want him to grow up singing with Gold City one day, because they probably won't be in existence at that point in time. They own their last leg. I left, everything went to pot. It's because I want him to be a Christian. I want him to be saved. I want him to know that he believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want him to have some hope that we are saved. I want him to be able to look forward to something. I want him to be able to know what these verses are talking about. I want him to be able to put the things of this world behind him and say, you know what? I'm not interested in what all it has to offer. I'm interested in what God has to offer me. Because it's far better to go with God than it is to go with this old world. Sometimes the things of this world seem like they're great, they seem wonderful, they seem like they may entertain you, but it only lasts for a short while. You see, Jesus Christ is eternity. If you start enjoying Him now, you get to enjoy Him through eternity. It never changes. I just want to start praising Him now. I just want to praise Him right now. That way when I go on to glory, guess what? I don't even check up, just keep on going. I may hit another gear when I get there and see Him, though. I'm expecting to hit another gear when I get there. But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't want to be so far removed from it that I got to go shifting a bunch of them. I love this book. And I love the one who died on the cross for my sins. If you don't know Him, please get it settled. He died on the cross for you. And it's unto everybody. Young, old, middle-aged. And it's such a simple thing. Anybody can tell anybody how to believe it. Just open up the Word of God. Take them to 1 Corinthians 15. Read 1 through 4. That's it. You can take them over to Romans 5, 8. You could take him to Ephesians 2:8, Romans 10:9, Romans 3:23. You could take him all those different places. Guess what? That's the gospel. Is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. That's it. He did it all. You didn't have to do anything. You didn't have to do a thing. Just accept it. Just take it. But when you take it, start living for God. Change your life and start living for God. Be different than the way you were. Don't be the same person. Put off the old man. You may have to be like Paul and put it off every single solitary day, but guess what? Put it off anyway. Why? So that you can live for God. So you can be an effective Christian, so that you can tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. This morning, Miss Barb can play something, whatever you want to play. Everybody stand to your feet.